Climate change the facts. Extreme Weather and Global Warming by Anthony Watts. Anthony Watts is a retired television meteorologist certified by the American Meteorology Society and author of Is the U.S. Surface Temperature Record Reliable? Published by the Heartland Institute in 2009. Up until recently, the posited effects of an increased global average surface temperature were mostly limited to the direct effects of temperature itself. These included sea level rise by thermal expansion of ocean water and ice melt of the ice caps, shrinking glaciers, and longer, more intense heat waves, to name a few. Most of these are somewhat distant effects for the average person. The average person living in the Midwestern United States wouldn't be affected at all by sea level rise, or loss of glaciers, or the shrinking of the ice caps. That person might be affected by increased temperature and possibly an extended heat wave, but both of these are things that can be adapted to. Low-cost air conditioners are accessible to a vast majority of the population, which wasn't the case during the Dust Bowl years and other heat waves of the past in America. Essentially, these posited effects of an increased global average surface temperature just aren't much of a concern in the daily lives of many people. Even people who live in coastal zones can't detect the slow pace of sea level rise within their lifetimes, which ranges from 1.7 millimeters per year from tide gauge measurements to about 3.3 millimeters per year based on satellite observations. Assuming the rates hold over a 70-year lifetime, such changes would amount to 111 millimeters, 4.3 inches, to 231 millimeters, 9.1 inches. The rate of change is so slow as to be almost undetectable in the human experience. Likewise, the rate of global temperature change since the early 20th century is generally agreed to be about 0.8 degrees Celsius, or 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Again, so small to be almost undetectable in the human experience. In fact, if the global average surface temperature data is plotted in the same scale as a standard outdoor home thermometer, the change of the last 130 years is hardly even visible, as the graph of NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies, GISS, data shows in Figure 1. Since such plots generally don't get people all that concerned, for obvious reasons, most depictions of the global average surface temperature are done with temperature anomaly graphs, which magnify the change within a small range and show the change, anomaly, from a base average temperature. They also have another advantage, and that is the choice of the baseline period. In the case of NASA GISS, considered the original reference source for global warming claims, they use a baseline period from 1950 to 1980. This just happens to be the coolest period of global temperature in the 20th century, thus making the deviation from the 30-year average temperature. An example is shown in Figure 2. With an anomaly plot, the scale is highly magnified compared to the scale of Figure 1 and shows the smallest of variances within the range of approximately 1 degree Celsius or 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit in the vertical axis of the graph. From such depictions, claims that global warming is occurring rapidly are backed up by the steep slope of the visual depiction. But in reality, as shown in Figure 1, global temperature has been remarkably stable for over a century, with variances that are small when compared to the scale of human temperature experience. So, concern about the problem doesn't sell well in the broad court of public opinion. However, as you can see in Figure 2, the temperature plot has stopped rising, and for over a decade has remained close to the 0.6 degrees Celsius line. This period of hiatus in temperature rise has become known as the pause. This is part of the reason that terminology used to describe the phenomenon has shifted from global warming to climate change. As climate change can be used as a catch-all phrase, without the need to address the inconvenient pause in warming. A study by Yale University concluded that the shift of terminology from, quote, global warming to, quote, climate change has backfired, as it has a milquetoast connotation in the minds of the public. According to the study, the phrase climate change tends to be associated with unusual, but not necessarily terrifying, weather events. With the pause in temperature looming large, and with a passive response by the public to the phrase climate change, those who have an interest in pushing the issue tried a new tactic. They tried to connect global warming to everyday weather events. In September 2010, the White House declared that the phrase should now be, quote, global climate disruption. The phrase global climate disruption was created out of thin air by John Holdren, director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy himself. As there were no studies or reports prior to the one he wrote in 2007, in which he declared, quote, global warming is now a phrase on everyone's lips. It has more than 50 million hits on Google. Its combination with biodiversity, the variety of life on Earth, gets more than a million hits, barely 15 years since Peters and Lovejoy convened the first meeting on the subject. The phrase is appealing, but seriously misleading. Earth is experiencing a rapid global disruption to its climate, one of considerable physical complexity. This was further emphasized in a 2012 paper by Dr. James Hansen of NASA GISS, who also was the keeper of the global temperature record plotted in Figure 1 and Figure 2, who said, our analysis shows that it is no longer enough to say that global warming will increase the likelihood of extreme weather, and to repeat the caveat that no individual weather event can be directly linked to climate change. To the contrary, our analysis shows that for the extreme hot weather of the recent past, there is virtually no explanation other than climate change. The deadly European heatwave of 2003, the fiery Russian heatwave of 2010, and catastrophic droughts in Texas and Oklahoma last year can each be attributed to climate change. And once the data are gathered in a few weeks' time, it's likely that the same will be true for the extremely hot summer the United States is suffering through right now. But this impression is untrue. These events and others like them almost certainly would have occurred on their own, i.e. naturally. Climate change may have added a pinch of additional heat, but it almost certainly did not create these events out of thin air. Hansen pushes his impression with an analogy of, quote, climate dice. The idea is that anthropogenic greenhouse gas emissions have, quote, loaded the dice towards extreme warmth. So now, when Mother Nature rolls the dice for summer weather, there is better chance of rolling a heat wave or an overall hot summer, events discrete from events that were contained on the unloaded dice. But Hansen's hot summers are not new discrete events at all. Instead, they are the naturally occurring hot summers with a few extra degrees added to them. The extra couple of degrees push some summers over an arbitrarily defined threshold temperature, above which Hansen then classifies them as being, quote, extreme. Hansen's threshold between a, quote, normal summer and an extreme summer has no physical meaning. Instead, it is rooted in statistics. While certainly some temperature thresholds exist that have physical meaning, like the 32 degrees Fahrenheit, the freezing melting point of water ice, none exist in the range of temperatures which characterize summer across much of the globe. Whether or not the average summertime temperature is greater or less than some arbitrary value is of little practical significance. So how do climate advocates get people to care about such things that they can hardly see or feel? They make it personal by trying to connect virtually every weather event to global warming, climate change, global climate disruption. Because weather is something that is universal to the human experience and detectable on a daily basis. The idea that weather can affect you is borne out in the daily news throughout history. Floods, thunderstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, blizzards, droughts, and heat waves are a shared part of the human experience globally, via pain, suffering, and property destruction. What better way to make people concerned about small, virtually imperceptible, century-scale changes in temperature than by saying that these changes directly affect the daily weather, making it more extreme? This fear-mongering speaks to the human psyche, for mankind has long feared the effects of severe weather, and the primal urge is to seek shelter from it, and to avoid it whenever possible. It is a basic survival instinct learned from experience, but contrary to the lack of any learned experience from a century of virtually undetectable global temperature change. Why it seems that extreme weather is, quote, getting worse, when the data shows otherwise. With the help of the electronic media, many, if not all, of the extreme weather events we see globally on a day-to-day basis are etched into the minds of people simply by the act of watching news broadcasts, reading newspapers, listening to radio, getting Twitter or Facebook alerts, receiving SMS messages on cell phones or reading web pages. Live television news broadcasts gravitate towards what is action-packed and exciting, which tends to cater to the viewer's emotions rather than address the factual content. This is essentially the modus operandi of the electronic media, and particularly television news. The goal is to capture eyes and ears and to keep them engaged. In 2011, Bouziatis et al. Presented a paper on flood trends that concluded, analysis of trends and of aggregated time series on climatic 30-year scale does not indicate consistent trends worldwide. Despite common perception, in general, the detected trends are more negative, less intense floods in most recent years, than positive. Similarly, Svensson et al., 2005, and D. Baldassare et al., 2010, did not find systematical change neither in flood increasing or decreasing numbers, nor change in flood magnitudes in their analysis. Note the emphasized phrase, despite common perception. That common perception is central to the theme of extreme weather is getting worse, which was started by John P. Holdren in his 2007 paper on, quote, global climate disruption. Like Holdren, many people who ascribe to doomsday scenarios related to anthropogenic global warming seem to think that extreme weather is happening more frequently. Most people are not educated in the history of television technology, web technology, and mass media. And without that background, it is easy to miss the central lesson about why the false perception exists of an increase in extreme weather today. Weather appears more extreme today, not because it is, but because we hear about it nearly instantly, and such reports saturate the electronic media within minutes of occurrence. Compare the reach and speed of communications and news reporting at the beginning of this timeline to the reach and speed of communications and news reporting technology around the beginning of the 20th century. Then compare that to the beginning of the 21st century. Compare again to what we've seen in the last 10 years. With such global coverage, instant messaging, and internet-enabled phones with cameras now, is it any wonder that nothing related to severe weather or disaster escapes our notice anymore? Certainly, without considering the technological change in our society, it would seem as if severe weather events and disasters are becoming much more frequent. To borrow and modify a famous phrase from James Carville, it's the technology, stupid. All of these advances in communication speak to the phrase, despite common perception, which was highlighted at the beginning of this section. The speed of weather tracking and the communications technology curve aids in our common perception of extreme weather events. But the reality of extreme weather frequency, though, is actually quite different. While we may see more extreme weather on a daily, monthly, and yearly basis, That happens only because there are millions more eyes, ears, cameras, and networks than ever before. Extreme weather was always there, but up until recently in human history, there was no way to record it and share it quickly. Now, almost anyone with a camera-enabled cell phone can report on extreme weather from nearly anywhere on the globe and have it in the hands of television networks and internet news sites within minutes of occurrence. Conclusion. In the IPCC's Fifth Assessment Report, Summary for Policymakers, SPM, there is no mention at all of tornadoes or hurricanes in the extreme weather events section. They give low confidence to tropical storm activity being connected to climate change and don't mention mesoscale events like tornadoes and thunderstorms at all. Similarly, they give low confidence to drought and flood attribution. They've only talked about heat waves and precipitation events being connected. From the SPM, changes in many extreme weather and climate events have been observed since about 1950. It is very likely that the number of cold days and nights has decreased and the number of warm days and nights has increased on the global scale. It is likely that the frequency of heat waves has increased in large parts of Europe, Asia, and Australia. There are likely more land regions where the number of heavy precipitation events is increased than where it has decreased. The frequency or intensity of heavy precipitation events has likely increased in North America and Europe. In other continents, confidence in changes in heavy precipitation events is at most medium. This is consistent with what was reported in the IPCC Special Report on Extremes, SREX. There is medium evidence and high agreement that long-term trends in normalized losses have not been attributed to natural or anthropogenic climate change. The statement about the absence of trends in impacts attributable to natural or anthropogenic climate change holds for tropical and extratropical storms and tornadoes. The absence of an attributable climate change signal in losses also holds for flood losses. This lack of attribution of severe storms to man-made climate change in AR5 contradicts the claims of Hurricane Sandy, tornado outbreaks, floods, and other media sensationalisms about imagined connections with climate change. In addition to two IPCC reports making no connection between extreme weather and climate, we have Nature's editorial in 2012 saying, "Better models are needed before exceptional events can be reliably linked to global warming. To make this emerging science of climate attribution fit to inform legal and societal decisions will require enormous research effort." When the journal Nature says that there is no reliable linkage, and, quote, "enormous research effort is needed to link extreme weather as a byproduct of global warming, climate change, or climate disruption," you know that no matter what you want to call it, it is a dead issue with true science at the moment. And the value of such wild claims trying to link extreme weather with climate exists only as a recruitment tool for climate activists and zealots. Climate Change the Facts is published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved.